I love that song as we change the order of service. Because I need all the assistance. We all need the assistance in this effort. At times it just seems so heavy and but bid unbelief depart. And that's the thing that gets in the way is the unbelief. We bid that depart and that he will take full possession of our hearts. That's our prayer as we enter into this service. As we do this portion of the service, we pray to God that he take that unbelief that I have right now and he just remove it.
Amen.
And from you too. The Lord is so able. The Lord is so able to do way more than we could even think or ask. He has before. He has this weekend. He has today where our hearts just soar. But he can do it right now. And if he does, all glory be to him. And I feel utterly, I know I'm with the people that love me. And
amen.
So that helps. I'm thankful to share the stand with you, Brother Mark. I'm not going to spend time talking how much I love you because that would go on for a while. But I'm thankful to also be in the service with y'all. I'm thankful for this church. I'm most thankful that the Lord has seen fit to deign to be with us. And my prayer is that he continue to be with us. I'd like to look in Joel in the second chapter. And there's a portion of scripture, really just a couple of verses I'd like to look at. As the prophet Joel is directed by the Lord to go unto Judah and to proclaim the imminent calamity that's about to befall Judah, to warn them against the sins and the wayward ways in which they had been against God and against his ways, to have them stop, to figure out where they're at and to turn back to the Lord. These words come unto the children of Israel, come unto Judah. And in the second chapter, I'd like to pick up here at the 12th verse. It says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord." Remember, so these aren't Joel's words. These are the Lord's words. "Saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." He is directing Judah, directing individuals, directing a nation to turn to God, which means they have turned away from God. And they are directed to turn back to God and to do so in a particular way with all their heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. There's an attitude. There's a spirit there. There's emotion there. There's feeling there. And that's how we're to turn to God when we find ourselves out of the way. Turning to God. With feeling, with emotion, with realness, turning back to our God. If I'd have a text for you this evening, it's verse 13. It says, "And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." And as we heard this morning, that evil being that destruction. This concept I'd like to look at this evening together, if the Lord be with us, is this thought of rending our heart and also rending our clothes. We don't rend our clothes. That's not a custom that we do, but they did. In the Old Testament, we go back and it's all throughout the Old Testament. Rending the clothes means, is what they would do. It's an ancient custom that they did where they literally ripped their clothes. Whatever that looked like. I don't know if it was a small part off to the side or what. You know, I kind of visualize it just right across the chest. Just wide open. I don't know if that's how it is. That's how I see it. But I mean, it is like, it is complete destruction and all of a sudden, it's not a slow tear. It's a all of a sudden just rip, a full destruction of it, right? Unmendable kind of break, right? I'd like to look at that. Let's go back and not just take my word for it. Let's go see what the scripture says about it in Genesis first time I see this occur in Scripture here is Genesis 37, where we pick up here those 12 brothers, 12 sons of Jacob. This was touched on a couple times this weekend of Joseph, and he was down in that pit, right? That those brothers and their jealousy when Joseph had had those dreams of him, of those 12 sheaves, and that one standing up, right, and the other 11 falling flat, and the brothers they figured out what that dream meant, and maybe Joseph was the last one to figure it out. And then he had another dream with the stars, so on and so forth. Anyway, he ends up in a pit from his brothers. Thanks to his brother Reuben, who kind of steps in on his behalf, making intercession for him, and steps on in his behalf. Let's not kill the brother. We're going to put him in a pit. Reuben goes off, and when he comes back, after some other things had transpired, and the brothers had sold him off, and he was heading into Egypt, Reuben comes back. He looks in the pit, and his brother is not there. Genesis 37, verse 27, says, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by the Midianites merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes. It's the first time I see it where one in the Old Testament rent their clothes. He looks down. He sees the news. He is heartbroken at what he sees. He is in a state of mourning. And he rends his clothes. He just rips them. Okay. That outward display that is showing forth the emotion and feeling that he has within himself. Now, I don't know if this is the first time it happened, but this custom caught on, whether before or after this, because we see it happen throughout, to where one would be in a state of mourning and great distress, and they're just upset, and they, in that moment when they get that news, just rend their clothes, right? It must have been before. It has to be. Let's go on. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "This child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors, and brought it to their father, and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it. Jacob looked upon that bloody coat. He looked at the evidence. He looked at the news that came to him, the word that had come to him by that evidence, and he saw it. He looked upon it. He knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt, rent in pieces, and Jacob rent his clothes. Jacob rent his clothes. And put on sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him with great mourning, with great weeping, with great sorrow. Let me ask you this. Do you think those were real emotions? Yes. He rent his clothes, though. That outward display where he just ripped it open. But do you think his heart was rent? I say yes. I say his heart was torn. He was in a state of deep mourning and emotion and feeling. So he knew what was inside. And others, they knew what was on the outside. They knew what was on the outside. I'd like to go look here in 2 Kings at another instance where this happens. You have this account of King Josiah. 2 Kings 22. King Josiah started reigning when he was 8 years old. So pretty much his whole growing up, he was learning how to rule, how to be a king, how to. They said he did right in the sight of the Lord. He was a good king. He did things according to as he should have done after the pattern of his father David. 2 Kings 22. I'm going to spend time reading a lot of this. Go back and read. This is really, really good stuff, this chapter. King Josiah, he started ruling when he was 8 years old. He ruled for 10 years until this point came where there needed to be they were going to commission a repair of the temple. They had kind of forgot about it for a while, and it had gone into a state where it needed to be repaired. They gathered up money, they took it to the doers to work on the temple to repair it, and they sent that word out, and then it was going to be under construction for a while. And in that process, King Josiah sent to get that temple to be repaired. You know what they found? The word of the Lord. They found the word of the Lord, which means they didn't have the word of the Lord in use during that time. He had ruled for 10 years trying to do the very best he could. I think his intent was to do right in the sight of the Lord with the best that he had. But here came the word of the Lord to him, and he had the scribes read it to him, and they read through it. And they were getting the theme that we ought to follow God's ways and God's statutes and do things according to the way the Lord would have us to do it. And when that didn't happen, bad things happened. And guess what? Where are we at right now? We're not in the right place. We're not doing the right things. This nation isn't doing the right thing. And I think he's saying, I haven't been doing the right thing. As we heard this weekend, that we've been made kings and priests unto God, and that we have a kingdom that we ought to be ruling over and doing a better job ruling over. And that's myself. And I tell you, I haven't been a good king. Haven't been a good priest. Maybe King Josiah realized, I've been trying to do good, but I haven't been doing good enough. Amen. This nation hasn't been doing good enough. He finds the word of the Lord, as we heard this weekend. Brother Gary talked to us about how when the word comes, it just shines that light to where we're able to see it. Well, I think the word of the Lord came, and there was some illumination that he saw for the first time here in this situation. We get down here to verse 19. No, let's not go there yet. He rends his clothes. He rends his clothes. He rends them. That outward display, which was a part of their custom, I think he didn't even have to think about it. I think it's just one of those things. We have customs like that. When we get excited, there's some things that we do. I'm not going to demonstrate any, but you can probably think of one. We mourn differently than they mourned back then. They rent their clothes. We get low and sad. Our customs are different than their customs, but we have things that we do, and we didn't have to think about them. I'm real happy right now. Let me think about what I'm going to do right now. No, it just comes, right? Because we've seen others do it all growing up, and that's just kind of how things evolve. Well, for them, that mourning state came with a rending of your clothes. I pray that we can get this part of understanding this, that it wasn't a bad thing that they were rending their clothes. It wasn't a bad thing that they were rending their clothes. The Lord saw the rending of the clothes, but the Lord saw what really no one else except for Josiah saw in that moment, and that was his heart. He saw what was on the inside that other people didn't see. See, King Josiah felt. He had the feeling, the realness of it, and others had the display of it, right? But God saw his heart rent in that mourning, the feeling, the realness of it, right? The weeping, the mourning. Verse 19, it says, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou hearest what I have spake unto this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and again should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes, and has wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. He has heard us. Even if King Josiah didn't say anything, he heard it. He heard true emotion and feeling of repentance that King Josiah felt. He heard it. He didn't just see the outward display. He heard the very feelings within him in that rending of his heart. He heard it. And even in the New Testament, we know, I think it's in Acts 14, that even Paul and Barnabas rent their clothes, right? So it kind of carried on into the New Testament, that they were down in Lystra and they were preaching. There was one that was lame on his feet, and everybody in the town knew that he wasn't able to walk. He was one that was crippled, and he saw him, the one that was impotent, saw Paul and Barnabas, and he had faith within himself that that he could be healed. And Paul saw his faith. He could perceive the faith within him that he could be healed. And Paul says, "Stand up upon thy feet." And that man stood up and he leapt and he walked. And then those in the town in Lystra, their desire was to sacrifice unto Paul and Barnabas, and they would have nothing of it. You know what they did? They rent their clothes. And I don't know if that it was a true feeling of mourning, them going to worship them and prop them up like they were the ones that had the power, but yet they did it. Maybe it was for them to show unto others, you know, we have nothing of that. So it kind of carried on throughout. But the point is that there's this outward display that they might show with the rending of the clothes. And then that inward feeling of their hearts being rent. Let me ask you this. Could you have the rending of the clothes without the rending of the heart?
Yes.
I say yes. I say yes. I think you could fake it. I think you could rend your clothes and show a humbling and a mourning and a submission to God and not actually feel it. Right? Could you rend your heart without rending your clothes? Yeah, we've all experienced that ourselves. I think a really good picture in scriptures of one whose heart was just absolutely rent is a vision that Isaiah has in Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord on his throne high and lifted up. Isaiah had a vision, a glorious heavenly vision. I don't know exactly what he saw. It tells us some of the details, and it's amazing to go and read in Isaiah 6. But one thing, when he saw, when he witnessed, when the news came to him, when the evidence was before him, and he saw the glory of the Lord, and he saw just how much greater God was than he, and how sinful that he was. When the news came unto him of his vileness, of his bankrupt state, of all the ways that he fell short of the glory of God. You know what he said? Woe unto me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. News came. The word came and illuminated the situation. And he was undone. And then there was one that the angel came and he took that live coal and he placed it upon his lips. I always thought that was such an interesting, and I couldn't really understand it. Why would he put coal on his lips? Well, I would think this is my belief here. If Isaiah said, I my feet are so awful, and I think he would have put the coal on the feet. I think he was answering Isaiah's issue. My lips are unclean, and that angel came and says, but they've been purified. The Lord has redeemed you. The answer for your unclean lips is in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross, what he has purchased for you. He is the answer for the sin that you feel within yourself. Yes, Isaiah, your heart is rent right now. You're mourning and you're weeping. You're lamenting your own sin and unworthiness and the ways that you fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ is enough. That coal comes and touches his lips. There's an answer for it. There's an answer for that. And it's not your righteousness, Isaiah. It's the righteousness of God Almighty. It's the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. His heart was rent. Is that a bad thing? I mean, just destroyed. I think it was just destroyed that moment. Have you ever had actual clothes like torn or destroyed or buttons coming off? I've had it happen, I've had it happen. Or barbecue sauce spilled on it, like when it it's just messed up. Well, I mean, you can mend a rent garment, but it would take one that knows how to do it.
Sure.
Right? It would take one that knows how to do it, one that can do it, one that's willing to do it. I wouldn't be able to mend my own rent clothes, right? I'd go out and buy a new one. When our heart is rent, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It puts us in a good state. When our heart is rent. I think Jonah's heart was rent there as he was down in the belly of that great fish. I think his heart was rent when he realized his sinful state. We heard this weekend of the news coming to the child of God through the gospel of the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ when it comes to us. We have one who knows how to mend the heart. There's nothing else that can mend the heart. There's a lot of things we might be able to say, put in that spot of what we might reach for to try to mend the pain and the mourning that we feel when we see our sins, when we mourn our sins, when we weep and fast over our sins that we might go to and reach to. But there's only one. There's only one that can mend that heart. In Psalm, let me go over there and look at it. In Psalm 147. Psalm 147, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart." That's what our Lord does. When we are in a state, that news comes as it came unto Reuben, when the news came unto Jacob, when that news he realized there and Jonah found in that low place down in the heart of the sea, when the news comes to the child of God in the gospel that because of the fall of Adam, because of our nature, sin nature, we are plunged into curse of sin, death, and hell, when we find by our own experience that we sin daily and we go against God's statutes and His laws, when we that news comes to us and we rend our heart, when it in a moment in full destruction, we have one that steps in and binds up our broken heart. Our tearing that and ripping it apart is a good thing because it paves the way for the Lord to come in and it puts us in a state where He mends up our heart. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up our wounds. In Matthew 5, in that Sermon on the Mount, one of the very first things that Jesus teaches there as He gathers a multitude of people around and His voice goes down and out throughout that valley, He says, Blessed are the poor in spirit. Another way to say that, blessed is the poor in heart. Your rent heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we find ourselves in a state where we know, when we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our only answer for the sin that we have, may we rend our hearts. That He is in that, we're in the right place, in the right state. That the one who is the heart binder, the heart mender, the one who comes in and who fixes that broken heart, and he brings it back to a state to where we feel good and we feel right and we feel made whole. That's a good thing for us to do. And I'm thankful that the Lord, even though I rend it and he mends it, and I rend it again and he mends it again, he's long-suffering and he's gracious and he's merciful to one who is always stepping out of the way and always going astray. We have a good shepherd who's always watching over us, who's always mending our broken heart. May we rend our heart.
453,
Jeff.
Yes, sing 453.
Jesus heals the broken heart.